You're listening to independent, volunteer-powered 91.7 FM, WXPR Rhinelander, serving the Gagebic range at 100.9 FM. Find us on Facebook, Twitter and streaming at wxpr.org, WXPR, local public radio.
Live from the White Pine Room here at WXPR Public Radio in Rhinelander. We've gathered two of three candidates for Rhinelander mayor here along with a media panel who will be asking questions. This is your moderator, Ken Kroll, news director here at WXPR. Dick Johns has been a longtime mayor and prior to that a member of the city council dating back to the 1960s. He's retiring. This afternoon, we want to hear from the candidates. First, I'm going to have the media panel gathered here today in the White Pine Room introduce themselves.
Good afternoon, Ben Meyer from WJFW-TV here in Rhinelander.
Good afternoon, Jamie Taylor from the Northwoods River News.
Hi, I'm Eileen Persick, editor of the Star Journal.
Well, we had a change this afternoon. About 2:30 this afternoon, Scott Counter called to one of the candidates for mayor, called to say that he's been sick all day and he can't make it. So we're going to have two other candidates here in the room with us introduce themselves. And as part of their opening statement, then the panelists will begin with the questioning. The panelists will direct a question to the candidate, and each candidate will also be given a chance to respond if they so choose. About the midway point, I'll pause and give each candidate a minute if they wish to correct a point that had been made earlier. We'll end the Q&A session about 10 minutes to 6 or earlier, so each candidate will have time to have a closing statement done in reverse order to the opening. So with all that said, let's begin with the opening statement of our first candidate, chosen by drawing prior to the forum, Chris Fredrickson.
Good afternoon. My name is Chris Fredrickson. I'm 45 years old. I've been a community member for 20 years, raised my family here in Rhinelander. I want to be mayor of Rhinelander to carry out a strategic plan that provides accountable leadership, informs citizens, builds a strong infrastructure, embraces economic development, continues a tradition of public safety, and makes citizens feel like owners of the Rhinelander community. I will do this by working with the City Council, challenging the current perspectives, building a consensus around achievable ideas, and expecting different results than the past. This journey started with coaching, and as I've seen the youth of Rhinelander grow up, I definitely want to give them a place to come back to, not just to live, but to thrive. That takes some strong leadership, and it starts with a plan. I want to be the mayor.
Okay. And our next candidate?
Sure. First of all, I'd like to say thanks to Ken.
Sorry, Alex Young.
Thank you, Ken. I'd like to say thanks to Ken, WXPR, to our panelists, and to you, the listeners out there. I'm running for mayor because we're at a crossroads in Rhinelander and need experienced leadership in the mayor's office to help us tackle challenges that include retaining young people in our community, providing the amenities young families desire, including family-supporting jobs, improving our roads and parks, and engaging the community and local government so everyone can have input and share in our common goals. I want Rhinelander to be a city that people want to live in, not one that they can't wait to get away from. We've gotten a lot done recently, including an aggressive plan to repair nearly a quarter of city roads this summer, improvements in the parks, recent economic development projects to attract and retain good jobs, and we've done all of that these past few years without raising property taxes. We also face challenges. Open communication inside and outside City Hall is a critical responsibility of the mayor, and I will improve that. In 2015, I wrote updates to the city's open meetings and records ordinances that go well above the state standards in response to things that had been kept from the public by the mayor and administrator. I'm committed to openness and transparency and will continue to support citizen participation. I added a standing public comment section to the agendas of committees I chair and have been streaming meetings online, but there's more we can do to open the doors of City Hall to everyone. I fought for Rhinelander and Madison and am ready to hit the ground immediately as mayor. There's a contrast between attending 3 or 4 council meetings and nearly 14 years of experience that has helped me get things done. The WRS refinancing proposal I championed is saving the city over $2.3 million right now. I think the list of people who can claim to have saved the city over $1 million is a pretty short list, but I've done it. Recognizing those opportunities and following through requires experience and a knowledge of the city's finances and structure. We need strategic planning encompassing all facets of the city, and unlike my opponents, I have a plan to get us there through the priority-based budgeting process, which has been tested and is used by many other communities. I'm looking forward to discussing these issues, and I'm asking for your vote on April 3rd to put my experience to work for Rhinelander.
That was Alex Young, and before him, Chris Fredrickson. Now we go to our Q&A session, and the first one to ask a question tonight, and it'll be directed toward Chris Fredrickson, is Ben Meyer.
Yeah, thank you, Ken. One of the most talked about topics on this race is, of course, who's on the ballot. Mr. Fredrickson, you're not on the ballot. You're running as a registered write-in because you failed to turn in enough valid signatures due to errors in collecting those signatures and dating them. I don't need to tell you that. You've been through a process with the city and with the state as well. My question is, why should people in Rhinelander trust you with the city, its decisions, its paperwork, if you can't correctly fill out instructions or follow instructions on a nominating sheet? And then to Mr. Young, if you choose to respond, why did you decide to challenge those signatures instead of letting the process play itself out?
Excellent question. Learning to pay attention to detail has been something that I've gathered from that. In my experience, 25 years in the hospital, I sign at least 90 documents a day that have to do with medicine and life-saving procedures or anything else. During that time, they're time and date stamped. They're time and date stamped, and my legal definition of it is now. So I would have put down today's date. The state statute does state that you do write down the date of the last collected signature. My question is to why the first collected signature isn't valid because you didn't date it for that. That being the case, yes, I made a mistake, and I've learned from it. What I also learned from is the human spirit, that when something's worth fighting for, you keep going. In my discussions with the state, they said I had a real sound case. It had to do with the ethics portion of it, of when things were turned in, the timeline. It was in question all the way till the end. They were never able to speak to Val Foley directly, so they had to vote in party to what the state statute is. But it did take an extra 3 weeks for them to decide and argue it out. I'm not here to obstruct the way government is done. I'm here to work with it. The next step of working with it was to be a write-in candidate. I still believe I'm the right man for this job. I'm not a politician. This is not a step in my ladder to climb. I'm here for the people of Rhinelander. I'm a taxpayer, and I'm going to represent the taxpayers.
Alex?
Well, I do think attention to detail is important, especially when you're talking about a $10 million enterprise like the city. And the simple answer to your question, Mr. Fredrickson, is that when you sign at the bottom of the nomination papers, you're certifying that all the signatures that you gathered were gathered on such and such a date. You can't certify that before you've gathered them. You can't sign that. The instructions are clear on that. The Elections Commission's past decisions have been consistent with that. And I think a simple look at those past decisions or the manual or the instructions probably would have led you to understand that, and that's why I decided to challenge those.
Okay, the next question will come from Jamie and go to Alex.
Each of you would bring various amounts of government experience to being mayor. Why do you see your experience level as the one people should choose on April 3rd?
Well, I think that I've been there and done that. I remember what it was like when I was a new elected official, and there's a learning curve there. I mean, there are a lot of moving parts involved in local government, and I've been experienced at more than one level, not just the city level, but also the county level, and I've also testified in front of the state legislature on various issues and fought different fights related to Rhinelander and Madison. So I do think that experience is valuable and helpful going forward. I think that without that experience, you're not going to be able to hit the ground running and get some of these things done that we need to get done. I don't think that we're at a particular position where we can afford a learning curve. I think Chris is a nice guy. I think he'd be a great candidate for the city council. I think jumping in to run for mayor with no experience is a little bit much.
And Chris, rebuttal?
Yeah, the experience I bring is the care and concern for the city to the foremost. The idea that we've been untaxed for 13 years or with an increase is a joke. Our water bills have increased by 100%. Is it a roundabout way of increasing taxation? Yes, it is. In the same regards, I don't believe that we're representing the people of Rhinelander when it comes to what they want to have done. Have we been open with communicating them? Have we been open with communicating with the businesses? Have we been leading and steering in a direction that gets you anywhere? Mr. Young here has said he's ready to hit the ground running. In 13 years, where has he ran to? What is that experience that actually led us to a place where Our infrastructure is not falling apart. Our economic development is behind, where the county actually takes the lead on everything that we do economically. We don't take any lead in that here with the city. It's time for us to lead as a city, lead with a mayor, and have that leadership capability.
We're coming down on time, so.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Eileen, you're up next with a question toward Chris.
This is pretty specifically for Chris.
Okay.
But I'm sure that you can find a way to respond to that. If you're elected, Chris, what specific steps will you take to get yourself acquainted and up to speed with things like how the city government works, what are the past and present issues, budgeting, and that sort of a thing?
I've had the budget in front of me for 6 months. It's complicated. I would sit down with Wendy and definitely go over different items, things that I haven't quite understood at this point. The very first thing I would do is lead the search for a new city administrator, making sure we have somebody in place going forward. You're right, it's a springboard. My leadership skill is a springboard at this point. If I'm firm and I'm fair, it's a springboard that we can take off as a city. If I don't know what I'm doing and I'm flimsy, it makes it a whole lot harder. Having a city administrator on board that's dedicated towards our future and moving together with a plan, we can rally things. Our leadership, when it's come to dealing with the city employees, has suffered. We've deteriorated that for quite a few years. Rallying around our department leaders and empowering them to make the decisions they need to make is a key factor in what I would do.
Alex. Well, again, I would point back to the fact that experience is important, and I'll give you a couple reasons why. Chris talked about the water bills in his comment that he made a couple fundamental mistakes. Number one, it's the sewer portion of the bills that has increased substantially, not the water portion. And that's because, due to some DNR regulations, we built a new sewer treatment plant that's probably going to last us 100 years down Highway 17. And that is not related to property taxes because those funds are separate. They're in a utility. The water utility and the sewer utility are accounted for separately from city tax dollars. So, I mean, these are fundamental issues. These are fundamental mistakes. This belies a lack of experience and a lack of knowledge.
Okay. Next question goes to Alex and from Ben Meyer.
Thanks, Ken. As Ken, you mentioned in your introduction, Dick Johns has been involved in city government for decades, back to the 60s. He's been the mayor for the last handful of years, of course. My question is, what, in your opinion, were the best things that the outgoing mayor, that Dick Johns, did in his decades of service to the city? Be as specific as you can. And on what things did you disagree most with him?
Well, I think one of Dick's greatest contributions to the Rhinelander community has been in his involvement with the human service system over the years and some of those mental health issues. Certainly there have been some things I've disagreed with him on. I think there were some front page headlines about when he had a meeting with the paper mill folks from Experia on Good Friday and managed to keep some of those tax issues from the city council up until the day before we passed the budget, which I disagreed with him on and subsequently fought to change the open meetings and open records laws. Fortunately, those laws existed because I used them to get access to some of those documents from the state, which is how I got to realize what happened there. Without those open meetings laws, I would not have been able to get that information. So that's probably the biggest thing I've disagreed with them on.
I think Dick Johns brought a lot to the city, the stability, the growth, and the family ideals. Important to the infrastructure of the city, he helped with the wastewater plant being placed where it is now. It's something he hangs his hat on, he's very proud of, and I think he should be. Alex has pointed out that it's a part of our utilities that will propel us far into the future, and that's a good thing. It was something that was proactive. We need a proactive government, and I think that showed that he was proactive.
Next up, Jamie, a question for Chris.
What kind of and how much leadership do you see yourself providing to the city council, which will have either three or four new older persons taking office the same time you will as mayor?
Leadership, is the way I understand it, is team building. There's a definition of team building that in bad teams, nobody leads. In good teams, the coach or the leader leads, and the people follow suit. But in exceptional teams, the players lead. I will embrace their differences, encourage robust debate, and move them forward when we need to move forward. I live by the philosophy of meet, exceed, next. You meet the expectation, you exceed it, and then you move on to the next. You can't rest on your laurels. You have to move on to the next. I'm a team builder. That's a big part of what I do. You do it from a position of leadership. You understand your authority. You know how to use that authority and still be respectful and kind. People grow in that environment.
Okay, I'm going to take a moderator's journey here and ask a question here. You mentioned the city administrator. Rhinelander's had some issues with the city administrator going back a ways. And I'll direct this first toward Alex with a response from you, Chris. You're in the process right now. What is being done to assure the public that the next administrator is going to work out better than perhaps the last two or three? Alex?
Well, we just recently this week discussed the finalizing the job description and the salary range. I think that we're working with a different recruiting firm and with the idea that we'll get a better outcome, and I think that they're going to be very proactive in their recruitment. And I think they're going to engage and have engaged with not just people inside City Hall, but outside groups, people from Ford, Rhinelander, et cetera. Those meetings have already happened and will continue to happen over the summer so that we get a city administrator that is the best fit for our whole community. I think that's going to involve a lot of different assessments of where our strengths are and where our weaknesses are in terms of skill sets. Oftentimes in these recruitments, they'll talk about, well, does the city have people who are strong in the financial area, for example, or in the HR area? I think we do need somebody who's strong in the HR area. I think we need somebody who's got some experience with budgets. So those are the types of conversations that we're going to have over the summer.
Okay, Chris, your thoughts on the city administrator?
Yeah, I think somebody who has a heart for our city is really part of the issue. When we talk about hiring experts in to give us a decision on anything, they can give you a pretty easy decision. It's something that we can figure out ourselves. I think the conversations amongst ourselves, the people, the cities, the community members, the business members, is correct. And I do believe that that did show some proactive thinking that they're going to go outside of just City Hall to find out who the next city administrator should be. I welcome that idea of finding somebody who has a passion for us. We need to have that passion drive our strategic plans, and that city administrator is the one that makes that plan work.
Okay. Next, Eileen, a question for Alex. Or you're up?
Is it my turn?
I lost track.
It's sorry. That's what I'm doing.
Okay. Alex, how would you describe your organizational style?
Well, I think that, you know, I want to empower our department heads to lead their departments. That said, the mayor is the chief executive of the city. I think that the model guidelines that the City Managers Association lays down in terms of the division of roles between the mayor and the city administrator puts more of the public-facing duties, the political duties, the policy duties on the mayor, and the implementation on the city administrator. So I would look to deal with more of those things. I think there have been a lot of things that have been shoved off on the city administrator over the years that probably should have been the role of the mayor. I think that people oftentimes look at the mayor's role and have made the comment to me that the mayor has no power, and that's fundamentally wrong. The mayor is the chief executive officer of the city. Just because we've had mayors that haven't exercised their power doesn't mean that the mayor has no power. It means that people haven't used that power. I would look to reinvigorate the role of mayor as a leader in the community, and I'm looking to put every day in at the office to make that happen.
Chris?
I'd first like to question how being a part of city council, he wants to empower anybody when we've had city administrators that have tried to fill that gap, and it's led them into a bad place. Second of all, when it comes to leadership and it comes to actually finding the people to work together, you have to be able to lead them, inspire them. You have to get things done. We've had 13 years of not getting things done. What I bring to that city leadership, what I bring to those department heads, is actually a talking voice that can be trusted and can move forward. It's about hard conversations and simple truths. So you can have every policy in the world, but if you're not following them, it doesn't matter. You can have every book, every resource behind you, and if you don't have people that are willing to listen to you and move forward, it doesn't matter. I'm here to make it matter in this city.
Ben, you're next. And this one is directed for Chris.
Right. My question is, which Wisconsin community do you want to see Rhinelander become? That is, when you think of your vision for Rhinelander at its greatest potential, what Wisconsin community is it most similar to?
I think Rhinelander's unique. It's completely unique. I'm not sure there's another community like us. We get to pull from tourism. We're the economic hub of the northeastern part of the state. We also have a lot of medical facilities. We have a lot of different things. We have an infrastructure that's kind of strange. 35,000 people can go through our city at any one point, and yet it's 8,000 people that live in city proper. Our idea of community needs to change that way so that we can expand out. When people say they're from Rhinelander, trust me, they're from Newbold. They're from Harrison. It doesn't matter how far you go out. That's where they're from. Now, how in the world we include those in our decision-making and everything else, that'll be different. Effectively forming community takes just basic, simple nature of inclusion. People want to be included in that voice. I'm inviting, and I will have an office that's open enough to include that voice, that we become unique and unique in our own strengths. Once again, as mayor, I'm representing the taxpayers. They will drive the way the city goes, but it'll be under my vision and leadership.
Well, certainly, I think Rhinelander's unique in a lot of different ways, and we encompass kind of a hybrid between an industrial community in some respects and a tourism community in other respects, although I don't think we're a true tourist community in the vein of something like a Minocqua or a Bayfield or something along those lines. But I do think in terms of our downtown and some of those types of things, we have a lot of similarities with Wausau, although Wausau is a lot larger. I think Wausau has been a little more aggressive in terms of some of the downtown improvements that they've made, and maybe we can learn from that. I think that there are some things we can learn from some of our neighbors to the north, for example, up in Vilas County with respect to parks and bike trails and walking trails and some of those types of accommodations. I think they're way ahead of us in that regard. So all of those different things, I think, are things we can look to.
Jamie, you're next with a question for Alex.
All right. Last year, there was a lot of turmoil over workplace issues in the Public Works Department. Alex, what did you do as alderperson to address that? And both of you, what would you do to improve city employee morale if elected?
Well, I think that you're right that there has been some issues over in the Public Works Department. I'm not going to get into the nitty-gritty of HR issues on live radio, but that said, I think you can probably remember when I fought to have that item included on an agenda so that we could have a discussion about it at the Finance Committee and Council levels. And ultimately, I'm not on the Public Works Committee, so my involvement in that has been a little bit tertiary, but I do think that we've tried to shed some light and bring some resolution to some of those issues. And certainly, I think in the last year or so, we haven't heard as many issues as we did for quite a while there. And hopefully with some of the new staff, new leadership over there, we're past that point now.
Chris. You haven't heard those issues because you lead by one of two ways, fear or respect. And right now, our working environment's where they're fearful to speak out. The way we've handled HR has actually been pretty atrocious, and we need to address it correctly. If it's by respect, they feel like they have a voice. They have a feeling on coming to work is a place where they're safe, where they can move forward. They can move forward with their ideas. If we are empowering our department heads and people to do things, there's a structure to report. I understand that completely. If they don't feel like their voice is heard, they need to have a place to go to so that they can reinvest in that job. One of the things I've learned from being at the hospital is it's teamwork between administration and the people to get a job done. We would not have good outcomes in the healthcare field if it was one or the other mandating what was happening. It would be impossible to move forward in a healthy way.
Okay, you're listening to a live radio forum here at WXPR Public Radio. Ken Krall, your moderator. We have a media panel here, and the two candidates for Rhinelander Mayor, Alex Young and Chris Frederickson. We're going to take just a moment. I had promised both of you, if something that you've heard so far, we're going to give you a couple minutes to kind of make another point or some other points maybe on something you've heard to this point. You don't have to do this, but if there's you want to follow up on something that may have been said already, the floor is yours for a couple of minutes each. Anything, gentlemen? Or do you want to just move on?
We're good.
Okay. Wanted to give you that opportunity. Next up, we're going to have Eileen. And for Chris.
All right. Along with bike trails, roads, city parks, jobs is a big thing that we hear about, people wanting to know what kind of a focus you will put on bringing larger companies, good-paying jobs to the community.
When we look at economic development, there's certain things that we can do. One, we need to match up what other cities are doing that are successful. How are they bringing them in? We need to know that right away. We also need to team up with Oneida County Economic Development. There's no reason to reinvent the wheel, but definitely to play our part. You know, he's brought up the Xperia deal a couple times, and at the same time, the city had virtually brought no skin to that game. We need to lead when our city has a chance to prosper. We need to take those opportunities and enhance them. Do what we need to be there. One, as the mayor's office, I'd be extremely inviting to the people that are coming to this city. If you Google us right now, it's not a real happy picture for a Rhinelander. I would change that almost immediately. The other things that we would do is build a business advisory committee. People that know or are experts in their field are people that have succeeded. You take that advice, you turn around, and you implement it into things that we can actually see and get done. We need to be able to take that advice. That's taking pride, putting it behind you. It doesn't have to be my idea, but trying to figure out how to champion those ideas of people that do know and move them forward.
Well, just to mention a couple of things, Chris brought up the Oneida County Economic Development Corporation, and under the assumption that maybe the city's not involved with it, I think he maybe doesn't understand that the city's one of the two funders of OCEDC. We put money in every year to their budget. We also appoint members of their board. So we've participated in OCEDC over the years, and we've gotten a number of economic development projects done that we've participated financially in a big way, including PrintPak, ABX, Speedy Delivery, Marshfield Clinic, Aspirus, Milestone Senior Living, the Rennis Facility, Kohl's, Hobby Lobby, a number of other projects. So to say we've got nothing done over the last 13 years, I don't know if you haven't been reading the paper, but I think we've gotten quite a few projects done. And that PrintPak project in particular, we created a TIF district for. We borrowed a whole bunch of money towards that, and there were a lot of moving parts that we were involved in. Xperia needed $15 million. The city right now only has $10 million of available debt that we could borrow. So fundamentally, we could not have done that even if we wanted to. And with the timeline that they had, it had to get done in short order.
Okay, Alex, 10 seconds.
The other thing I'll point out is at the county supervisors forum the other day, another county supervisor made the comment thanking me for my role in the Xperia deal and getting it done over at the county level. I think we are working together with the county. We can continue to work together with the county and OCEDC on projects like that.
Okay. Ben, you're next with a question toward Alex.
Yeah, and we'll start with Alex. What is the best realistic outcome for Northwood Golf Course, which, as you know, is a city-owned golf course? As you also know, and as many listeners know, it's been a financial drain on the city to the tune of about $1 million over the last few decades. Is the best realistic outcome a financial turnaround of the course, or should the city look into ways to sever its connection with the course at some point?
I think you guys are probably familiar with that I've been driving the bus on trying to get some change at the golf course for quite a long time, and it's made quite a few newspaper headlines. Fundamentally, I think the golf industry being what it is, the chance of making a profit over there is slim to none. I think that was borne out in the consultant's report that we paid for as well. If you look at municipal courses around the state, it's not a moneymaker for many places, and I don't think we have a chance of doing that here. I think our best chance is that we can potentially turn the revenue picture around a little bit, and those types of businesses are valued on gross revenue. In a perfect world, my goal would be to try and turn that revenue picture around so that the valuation comes up a little bit, and then ultimately we can turn around and sell and try to extricate ourselves from the golf business, because in the end, it's not a winner for the city. I think there's other things attached to that, both that facility is used for other recreational pursuits, silent sports and things like that. But by doing it this way, as opposed to the idea that some other people have thrown out about just throwing our hands up in the air and letting the paper company take it back, doing it this way leaves us in the driver's seat that we can record easements and do things to ensure that access to those silent sports trails continues to exist while putting a stop in the drain that's leaking all that city money down the tubes.
Once again, he talks about being in the driver's seat. If it's been 13 years and we're driving down a financial hole, that's not such a great thing. When he talked about saving $2.3 million, that was a projection out to 2033. If you project anything out to 2033, I'm going to tell you right now, if I save this highlighter for 10 years and we don't have to spend any money on highlighters, I'll save $10,000. That's crazy. First of all, when you play the game with money, and it's not your money, you need to be responsible. We need to meet, exceed, next. If the golf course is not going to make money, it needs to be decided on now. We don't need to hire another company to decide what needs to happen. If the direction is so clear to somebody who's been sitting there for 13 years, it should have been done. If he had leadership skills, it should have been done. I understand the silent sports part. I also understand that they're protected in that property they have behind it. It's a separate issue. Is a key to that issue the golf course? Absolutely. Can that deal be made with whoever comes in and takes it over? Even searching for creative ideas, why wouldn't we invite a university in?
10 seconds.
Why wouldn't we invite a university in that possibly does golf course management, let them run it at no cost, and move forward that way? We haven't sought enough ideas. We haven't been creative enough, and it's time to make that decision.
Okay. Okay, what I'm going to do is let each of you make another point. Alex wants to make a point on this issue, and then you can get a rebut on that.
Well, I just want to make one brief response, which is that Chris thinks that nothing's been done the last 13 years. Maybe that's because there were deed restrictions recorded on the property that a little bit of homework would have led you to understand, and that the 30-year clock on those deed restrictions expired on, ironically, my birthday last year. So perhaps a little bit of doing your homework and a little bit of experience, you'd understand that that's why nothing's gotten done, because the paper mill had deed restrictions. We've had discussions with their lawyers for a number of years that have been unproductive, but the clock finally told last year. So that's kind of why it didn't get done for the last 13 years.
First of all, let me wish him happy birthday. Congratulations. Second of all, doing something about it is a whole lot different than saying we can't do anything about it. And with a $5,000 marketing budget, I'm sure we are definitely not letting that golf course succeed. That's impossible.
Okay. About halfway through, next up, Jamie with a question for Chris.
Should non-citizens be allowed to comment on city affairs during council meetings, and how would you, if elected, encourage public comment as a whole to the city, both at meetings and at committee meetings? I know Alex has opened up his committee to public comment. That's the only city committee that does have public comment on its agenda.
As mayor, you set the agenda. And correct, Alex sits on the county board. The county board starts out every meeting with that open comment section. There's, you know, I believe, five areas where you can sign up for 3 minutes. You're allowed to talk. It's not an agenda item. It's basically a listening or a sounding board for the city council to take what matters to the people and absorb it, direct them to the correct committees. That's something we would definitely initiate right away. Number two, I would also go to biweekly meetings. A month time is too long to sit on an issue, to move it to committee, to move it back again. Yes, I understand we are taking our elected officials, our representatives, and asking more of them. We need to do more to better the communication between the city and move along faster. The time we waste, as discussed with the golf course or anything else, the time we waste is money. I work in a hospital where time is tissue. If I mess around with your decision for a period of time, your outcome is less. We cannot tolerate these things any longer. You asked me about my feeling about outside voice. I find the definition of community is not only the members within the city limits, but also those who contribute daily to our economy and workforce within the city limits. The rights of a citizen to voice an opinion should not be limited by where you live, but by where you actively participate and spend your resources, whether it be money or time. The taxation question is a difficult one to answer, I understand, because our infrastructure is supported by less. Though I'm open to exploring those options, I believe there are many ways to solve financial decisions other than taxpayer dollars.
Alex?
Well, certainly, I think as Jamie pointed out, I did add a public comment section to the committee that I chair, and it's been on there for a number of months. I did that for a reason, to try to set an example for others. As mayor, Chris is correct that the mayor sets the agenda for the council meeting, not for the other committees. That's done by the committee chairs. But I would advocate for that public comment period to be included on all agendas with those committee chairs and try to get that done. I do think that public having a voice in local government is important. I think that trying to open the doors and engage more people. I mean, we have open meetings multiple times a month, and unfortunately not that many people show up. And that might be a reflection of this day and age, but I think we can do things through social media presence, through web presence, through a newsletter by the mayor, things like that, to engage people with what's happening in City Hall in a more proactive way. And I think we should do those things, and those are things I'm looking forward to do as mayor.
Next up, Eileen, with a question for Alex.
Alex, highlight a specific past experience that illustrates the single most useful quality you will bring to the table as mayor.
Well, I can tell you that one thing that I've learned over the years, and I probably learned this from the ski patrol, is that sometimes when you see a problem, when you see something that's bad, your natural instinct is to turn the other way and avoid it and not go towards it. But when you see somebody who's injured on the ski hill, you have to go towards that problem and solve that problem. And that's something that I try to bring to the problems that we face in the city. When there's something scary, when there's something controversial, I'm not afraid to approach it and try to come up with a solution. It doesn't always work, but at least I take a try.
Chris?
He talks about running towards problems and solving them. Once again, we'll go back to 13 years of experience in solving the problems. Proactively, even when it comes to our road infrastructure, we need to have a plan now, not only to replace the roads that are there, but how to maintain them and move forward. That needs to be a part of our budget, and we need to pay attention to that. When we talk about budget issues, you are talking about a restricted budget. How do we expand those tax dollars to make sure that happens? One, being inviting. It's one thing to say you'll speak with people. It's another thing to really communicate with them. It's a completely different standard and a completely different thing that he understands. Throughout all my experiences, whether it be coaching, family, taxpayer, working, communication's been at the key. And it's where you actually listen to what is being said, take it, process it, and be able to come up with a solution. It's taken many years to figure that one out because, yeah, as a parent, we understand, we have an idea of what they're supposed to do. And then when it doesn't work out, we have to adjust and be flexible. As a coach, the same thing. I said a definition of a good coach is not just having a good team on the field, but having a team that respects the other team, having refs that respect you, and having a family unit out there that also appreciates that product. I understand the big picture.
Next up is Ben Meyer with a question for Chris.
Chris, what areas of the city have the highest priority for street repairs with the new money coming in through the city's premier resort area tax? And be as specific as you can.
Great, Ben. If I took our main city streets, if you took Lincoln, if you took the one entering town, it escapes me right now. But at the same time, the ones that enter our city and the ones that are used the most by the larger population, even though they cost more to get done, they are utilized by, you know, by the most people. We need to concentrate in those areas that are going to benefit the most people right away. We need to have a proactive plan to get that done as quickly as possible.
Alex?
Well, I heard in one of Chris's last comments, he talked about not having a plan for the roads. I think we did come up with a plan. It's called the Premier Resort Area Tax, and we're finally putting it to work this summer with approximately $2 million in road work that we bonded for just recently. There is a list of priorities. I've got it sitting right in front of me, the streets that we're looking at first this year. There's also a survey that's done for the state called the PACER survey that rates the condition of pavement on the roads. It can numerically tell you what roads are bad and what roads are good. I think between that survey and this prioritized list of what we're doing with the Pratt, we have a plan for the roads. It's taken a little bit of time to implement, but I think you'll understand if you read the media accounts, transportation funding is a statewide issue. I mean, this issue has been argued in Madison for years, and there hasn't been any solution that's come out of Madison, so we took the initiative here in Rhinelander, solved it for ourselves with the help of our elected representatives, but we now have $2 million worth of road work happening this summer that would not have happened had we not done that. We now have a revenue stream that's going to exceed $400,000 that's dedicated exclusively for transportation work that would not have happened had we not done that. So to say we don't have a plan, that's just not true.
Time. Jamie, next with a question for Alex.
Should the city partner more with local businesses and individuals for things like park projects and other city things? I know, Alex, you've been involved with Forward Rhinelander almost since it was started. But
well, I think that with the budget issues that face the city, now let me quickly get my budget sheet out here, but roughly 25.6% of the budget goes towards police, 21.88% goes towards fire, 19.04% towards streets, and parks is a measly little 3.43%. Parks is an easy thing to cut when budgets are tight, and that's what's happened over the years. I argued a couple of years ago to get $10,000 added into the parks budget for capital improvements, which we hadn't seen in a while. That money is still in there, and we've used it for things like benches and picnic tables and so forth. But because of these tight budgets, the city's simply not going to be able to afford on its own to take on some of the bigger improvements that we want to get done in the parks. things that are represented in the Parks Master Plan and in the Outdoor Rec Plan that the city had done in 2015. So if we are going to do those things, it's by necessity going to involve outside grants and working with private donors. So to answer your question, yes, I do think we need to work with those groups within the confines of, obviously, we want things that are acceptable that the community wants in the parks that are priorities for the community. But a lot of these things we're simply not going to be able to fund with the city budget the way it is now.
Chris?
We're pretty used to hearing the city say, no, we can't do something. He brings up a rec department. I'm not sure that we have a rec department. What we have are individuals that lead different groups of community-based groups. We do need to work with them. They're the ones that use our parks. When we talk about our infrastructure jobs, getting jobs into town, we need to understand the amenities that are going to bring young professionals back. We do need to focus on those and make sure they happen. We need to move from being a no, we can't do this city government to a yes, we will work to get it done. Quite often it's not just throwing money at something, but it's additional work, volunteer organizations rallying around ideas and events that can propel us forward. A majority of what's happened here in Rylander has been done by outside groups, not necessarily by the city. We need to change that where we start championing some of those ideas.
You're listening to a live radio forum here on WXPR Public Radio in Rhinelander, live here in the White Pine Studios, involving Alex Young and Chris Fredrickson, the candidates for mayor of Rhinelander. And Eileen, you're next with a question for Chris.
Simple one. What professional achievement are you most proud of?
By gosh, honestly, understanding why I do what I do. When you know why you do something, you can do anything else. The professional achievement itself is Muse. I helped integrate electronic EKG program here in the Northwoods. I talked about time being tissue, wanting our citizens to be safe. One of the things that happens with heart care is the quicker we get you to a catheterization or anything else, the more tissue you're going to save. By having Muse, which is wireless, we can connect with the cardiologist anywhere in the state. They can read that EKG and get appropriate care to you as soon as you arrive at that door. That meant integrating three different platforms of technology, making sure they were safe. We talk a lot about privacy in the healthcare field, that the medical records were correct, and then also making sure that 400 different physicians in this area would implement it and work with it. That takes buy-in. That's something I lead with. Something they called on me to do is to get buy-in from all these different parts and have it work, and it's working.
Alex?
Mine's easy. I'm happy to work for myself and write my own ticket and pay my own way.
Well, that was short and sweet. Thank you. Next up, we'll have Ben give Alex a question.
Yeah, Alex, as you know, a roundabout will go on Rhinelander's west side at the confluence of Highways 8 and 47. That was a decision by the State Department of Transportation. That's in the design phase now. Kind of two questions. One, did you agree with the decision to go forward with a roundabout as opposed to another traffic control means? And number two, now that the roundabout is going forward, what features would you like to see to ensure smooth traffic movement and safety, safety of pedestrians, bikers, things like that? Again, it's a DOT design, but what would you like to see there?
Yeah, as far as whether I agreed with the decision or not, I mean, fortunately, that's the DOT's decision to make and not ours. Roundabouts, as it turns out, inspire pretty strong feelings among people and certainly among my constituents and residents of the city. Had that been our decision, I think we probably would have looked to a lot of public comment prior to making that. Unfortunately, it was not. But that said, roundabouts have their problems. I don't like driving in them myself just because I'm not experienced in driving in them. I don't do it a ton. So it does weird me out a little bit to drive through roundabouts. That said, I think the math and the statistics show that they are safer. I mean, they cause less severe accidents, less fatalities. There was a fatality at that intersection that's in question. So from a traffic safety standpoint, I can support the decision. Some of the things that I would look for, I think that the snowmobile trail route that runs through that area is particularly important to the tourism industry of the city that connects those hotels on Kemp Street to the snowmobile trail network. So I made a point of bringing that up when the DOT came asking for comment from the city. I also think that bicycle and pedestrian accommodations through that roundabout are important. And if we're going to have a roundabout, let's make it big enough to get the trucks through there and things of that nature. So,
Chris?
I agree. Once again, if it's a safety issue, it makes sense. The accidents that come out of roundabouts are by far less, and they're less traumatic. That being the case, public opinion matters, and having open discussion with the public is necessary. If they really object to it, it needs to be looked at further. We'll take the dog park, for instance. It started out as a controversial issue as to where to put or anything else, and when they came to a good decision with input, it ended up being a wonderful place.
Coming up next, we have Jamie with a question for Chris.
What one specific thing can the city do to be more open with the public?
One specific thing. They can open their records of all of it. Being transparent is being transparent. I understand there's decisions you have to make as a leader that are hard. There's a reason behind them and explaining them. We've done a pretty good job of sitting behind doors. I mean, I think it was just last Monday, the doors of City Hall were locked at 5:40 before you could go in, and there were city members in there. Now, whether or not they were there discussing anything or any other reason, I understand City Hall closes at 4:30 until 5:30. We just still need to be open. We need to build trust.
Alex?
Well, I think that obviously strict adherence to the state open meetings and open records laws is important, and disclosing information when it's requested. I mean, being open to public comment, being open to people, being able to address the bodies in meetings and things like that. And I think that there's some things we can do to try and encourage people. Not everybody's apparently willing to get up and come to some of these city meetings that admittedly sometimes drone on for some time with some boring topics. But I think that we can do our part to try and create more of a web presence, social media presence, newsletters, things like that to try to engage the public in what are the important issues and make sure that we're being as open and transparent as possible. I think there are always going to be some areas where transparency is impossible. I mean, employees have privacy rights in their personnel records, and we can't, although Chris says we should open everything up, you can't open up personnel records in a lot of different cases, and there's legal procedures for notifying employees and things like that when those are requested. So obviously in cases like that, there are reasons why we can't be open. We can't give out, like, for example, police investigatory documents. There are other exceptions under the open records.
10 seconds.
So I think strict adherence to those rules is important, and that's why I worked on updating our open meetings and open records ordinances that I personally myself wrote in 2015.
Okay, we have about 10 minutes left. Eileen, for Alex.
Okay. Alex, several people have told us at the Star Journal that the election is about personality. In your opinion, how does personality impact a person's ability to lead?
Well, certainly I think personality is an important aspect of a public-facing job and being able to interact with people in a positive way and in a fair way. So to that extent, I think having a positive personality is important, and being able to engage with people is important to a public-facing role like the office of mayor.
Chris?
Another statement for personality, I would say it's character, having the integrity to have those hard conversations and move us forward, being receptive, being able to communicate with listening. We've brought up quite often the city, City Hall and whether or not it's transparent. If you can come in there and not hear anything, but that's all you hear is an agenda that's voted on, as a citizen and as a taxpayer, you're not going to go back. You need to either have engagement or dialogue with that person. As a mayor, I'll have that dialogue in my office. On my walls will be 3 to 4 dry erase boards with a 1-week plan, a 5-week plan, a what I need to do plan, and a 10-year plan, so that people can engage me in those things, challenge me on those decisions, and also give advice. Once again, I said a team that's exceptional is the one that the players lead.
Okay, I have one question There's been an issue about dark stores in Rhinelander and across Wisconsin in general. Municipalities have been bothered, I guess, by stores claiming, anyway, they get into a dispute with the larger corporations who say that they should be assessed in a different way. Where is the city right now, and what could you do to combat it? The next question was set to go to Chris.
One, I think it's a fairly unfair question because most of that handling has been in closed session. Understandably, it's a legal issue. He brought up quite clearly that even personnel issues, there's privacy rights, there are certain reasons for those issues. For sure, when it comes to this, there's a battle that needs to take place that's above us. Now, ideally, what I would tell you is I'm going to make our city so inviting and beautiful that there's not going to be a dark store, that the people are willing to be willing to pay taxes because the amenities that we're giving them, the reason for being there is worth it, and it's just not worth the fight. That's the pie-in-the-sky dream. As we know, the reality is there will be legal issues.
Okay. Alex?
Well, to piggyback off of one thing that Chris said earlier, he talked about coming to council meetings and hearing agendas getting voted on. I haven't seen him come to any of the committee meetings that I've been on, which is really where most of the business of the city takes place. And here's a case in point. I chair the city's Board of Review. Property tax appeals, before they go anywhere else, before they can go to the circuit court, go to the city's Board of Review. By statute, the city's Board of Review is always done in open session, so those discussions have always been done in the open, as they are required by law to be. We've been sued. There's been litigation that's happened with respect to the dark store issue from a number of different large big box stores. I've advocated on this issue at a state level. I've testified in state committee hearings on legislation that would correct this issue, because it's fundamentally unfair to the residential taxpayers of the city for somebody to claim that a thriving commercial store should be valued the same as a vacant, rundown store. That's fundamentally unfair, and that's what's happening. I've seen some good examples of advocacy from other communities, because through the league and other things, I can see what some of those other communities are doing. I saw a great post on the internet the other day where a mayor held up a couple
seconds.
Of checks with, you know, multi-$1,000 figures to say, look at these checks, taxpayers. This is what we are having to refund to these people. This is what this is costing you. I think we need to do more advocacy. We need to deal with this litigation, and obviously that's not always something that can be open. But advocacy on this issue is important.
This will be our last question before we have the closing statements. So, Ben, this goes to Alex.
Alex, I was with you at an Oneida County Board Supervisor candidate forum the other night. You're running two races simultaneously, this one for Rhinelander Mayor and for District 3 on the Oneida County Board, if I'm getting my districts right, to keep your seat and be reelected. Why should people in the city of Rhinelander be confident that if you're successful in both races, that you'll have the time, effort, energy to uphold both an Oneida County Board seat and be mayor of Rhinelander at the same time?
Well, for starters, because I've been serving on the county board and on the city council for a couple of terms on the county already and been able to do that. But I think more importantly, there's a benefit to the city there, which is that the city already has a number of partnerships with the county. The Oneida County Humane Society, which is funded both by the county and by the city. The Oneida County Economic Development Corp, which is funded both by the county and by the city. The Oneida County Fair, which is supported both by the county and by the city. And the list goes on. We've also got some partnerships with neighboring townships, including the library, which is a district formed by contract partnership with our surrounding townships. The ability to work with other layers of government on and partner on some of these issues is going to be important, especially when we've got tight resources like we do now with budgets and such. So I think that that is an advantage to the city, that we can work closer in partnership with some of these other layers of government.
I agree. I just think our definition of working with is a little bit different. He's been in those seats. These things should be done. He has 13 years of experience. We need to move forward. We need to meet, exceed, and move on to next.
Well, we're coming to the end of the hour here, and we always give time to both candidates to give a closing statement for the public to remember them. And in reverse order to what the opening statements were, we'll have Alex Young go first with his close.
Sure. First of all, I'd like to say thanks again to you, Ken, to our panelists, to WXPR, and to the listeners out there, because I think this is an important election and these are important issues. And forums like this are a great service to the public. I'm glad to have participated and hopefully shared some of my goals and why I'm running for mayor. I'm ready to go to work to help retain young people in our community, attract and retain family-supporting jobs, and the things that are important to the public, including our roads, our parks, our shops, restaurants downtown, and things in the rest of the city, so that Rhinelander is a city that people want to live in. As mayor, I will keep the doors of City Hall open to everyone and will work aggressively to encourage public participation and engagement with the city and with all the city departments. I pledge to continue to fight for Rhinelander and Madison, as I have on the dark store issue and other issues. And without a learning curve, I'm ready to start the job on day one working to improve our city. I also pledge to put the time in to do the job. The office of mayor isn't a one-day-a-week job, and it doesn't stop when you punch a clock or leave City Hall. If voters want a mayor that's going to do the minimum necessary, that's not me. I promise to put the time in every day to ensure the city and the community prosper. I'm asking for your vote to put my experience to work for Rhinelander. Please feel free to call me, visit me on the web at alexyoungformayor.com, on Facebook, or at the grocery store. And remember to vote on April 3rd.
Okay, Alex Young and Chris Fredrickson.
Great. One, I would like to thank everybody here, and I'd especially like to thank the taxpayers that are out there listening. We need to regain our identity as a city. Meet, exceed, next. It may not be in the nuances of state code and statutes, but it definitely is in the vision, the community, and the problem solving. That's what I bring to this city. My experience, you know, he's talked about his experience, and once again, I'll point out, for 13 years, that's great. Where are we? My experience, 20 years plus at St. Mary's Hospital as a respiratory care practitioner. The big portion of that time as we go through the decades is team building. We actually succeed as a team. I've seen it come and go where teams have gotten weaker or stronger. I bring that skill. I bring that unity to people. 12 years of youth coaching, being confident in an authoritative role. I don't shy away from conflict. I'm not going to say no, and I don't quit. That's quite evident by this race. Learn to be inflexible, ever learning from what happens, and not setting limits, striving for something more. 26 years of marriage, you learn compromise. I've also known what it means to hold the hopes, the fears of a family in your hands, and then be able to attach it to a budget or realistic goals. 20 years as a taxpayer, I've watched our community. I've watched the definition of community deteriorate. Neighborhoods are not the same. Property values are not the same. We cannot let it deteriorate any longer. There's no time to rest on our laurels of the things we've done for 13 years, whether it be save this or that, when especially it's a projected money issue. It's time to move on to the next. My background also includes military. It includes college. It includes being in the ministry. And also being the son of a business owner. When you talk about time or value of time, when you own a business, that was a 100-hour-a-week job. When I become mayor, it'll be 24/7. There's no doubt about it. I've never had a problem with accessibility. Some say it can't be done. I say watch us.
Thank you, Chris Fredrickson, and before him, Alex Young. Well, that concludes today's Rhinelander Mayoral Forum here on WXPR. We thank the candidates for appearing in our media panel, Ben Meyer of WJFW-TV, Eileen Persek from the Star Journal, and Jamie Taylor of the Northwoods River News. The vote for Rhinelander Mayor is Tuesday, April 3rd. There are many races involving city council, county boards, and school boards around the region. We hope you vote that day. This is Ken Kroll. Thank you for listening.